In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyone who believes in me, Jesus says in the gospel today, out of his belly will flow streams of living water. Out of his innermost parts. Some translations talk about the bowels, you know. This is coming from the believer in Jesus. So I want you to think back 3 Sundays ago when we heard about the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember, she was thirsty. Jesus was thirsty. It was the middle of the day. It was hot, and they were both at the well. And Jesus told her, if you would have known who I am, you would have asked me, and I would give you that life-giving water, the water that you drink of, and you're never thirsty again. Not the water that quenches your thirst for an hour, but the eternal life-giving water. So 3 Sundays ago, Jesus was giving that water. He was offering it. Now, in the gospel, he's saying the believer in him will have those life-giving streams flowing forth from his innermost parts. That's the great thing about Pentecost and what we're celebrating today, the great feast of Pentecost. It's closely related to Jesus' passion, his death, and his resurrection. In fact, it completes it, it fulfills it, and it perfects it. You might say, well, how can Jesus' death and resurrection be taken any further? Well, remember, when Jesus prayed before he went to the Passion, he told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to send you a comforter to be with you. And remember Jesus' words before he ascended. He gave a commandment. He told the disciples, do this. Take the gospel into every nation and preach it. Some variation of that command. Take it into every nation. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. How can Jesus be with them always if he's up there? So he sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down. God, the Spirit of God, his Spirit abides. It comes down in tongues of fire on the disciples and apostles on that day of Pentecost. And Jesus then abides in spirit with them from that point on to the close of the age. So that's what we're celebrating at Pentecost today. It said in that Pentecost story that there were over 3,000 believers that joined the church that day. They were brought in. 3,000 believers. Wonderful. Sometimes we wonder about our church here. Are we doing what God intends for us to do? And maybe, I know I think about it, are we bringing in thousands of believers on one day, over a long period of time even, over 100 years, are we doing that? I'll share something with you all. We do a census to the archdiocese every 2 years, and it's to determine the size of our parish. It used to be for a financial obligation. They determine how much we would be assessed. But now we tithe, but they're still interested in how many members we have in our church. How many people connected to this church, even if they don't come, even if they don't pledge? How many Orthodox are living in your community that, we're the church that they call home? So that number hasn't changed a lot over the years. That's what I wanted to tell you. I've looked at past records and past censuses, in the mid-80s, and it's around like the 375, 380 mark. And it continues to do that. I took a census this year. We came up with a little over 380. Okay? So how you figure that out is you take the census from 2 years ago and you determine baptisms. Every time you baptize somebody or chrismate somebody, it adds a number. Your numbers go up. If you have a funeral, the numbers go down. Those are about even. If we have a half a dozen funerals in 2 years, half a dozen baptisms, it kind of washes out. And then if families move out, which sometimes happens, and don't come here anymore, are no longer in Cedar Rapids, the numbers go down. And when new families come in, the same thing, the number goes up. So you have to determine that. But what I'm sharing with you is that our numbers stay kind of steady over time and have been. And I want to tell you not to worry about that. Because really, that's not our business. Who's coming to church and who's choosing to be Orthodox in this city? That's really God's business. We have a responsibility to do something. And I don't think we live in one of those cities where, you know, you have seekers and inquirers calling all the time. I know some of the big cities do that. And they bring in big communities of converts. That's wonderful. Maybe one day we'll do that in Cedar Rapids. But they're not the people right now. We just don't have them. But I want to tell you this. God will provide people for this church if we really, really want it. And if we really pray about it. If we sincerely want our church to grow. Do we want our church to grow? I know I do. Sometimes I think I want it for selfish reasons, though. And maybe for the wrong reason. You know, do we want to look good? Do we want to talk about numbers? Do we want our finances to go up? Do we want to build more Sunday school? I don't know. Have bigger projects? Do we want to have something big to show? Do we want to have accomplishments that lift us up as men, as people? That's the question. Or do we want it for the glory of God? I hope we want it for the glory of God. And if we do, we have to be the church. That's the task that God gave us. Be the church. That means we have to have a prayer life individually. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray at home. Believe. Practice your faith. We have to come to church and be in the sacraments. Receive the life-giving body and blood of Jesus as it's offered every divine liturgy. Go to confession. Confess your sins. Be one with the body. Those are two very important things. Remember Jesus in the gospel last Sunday, his prayer to God? What did he pray for the disciples? His prayer for them is that they would be one. And he told his Father, even as you and I are one, that they may be one. So Jesus wants unity for us. He wants us to be united, not broken. And the third thing is if somebody does come, if God does send a person to us, or a family, or many families, or 3,000, and he's able to do that, that we are being the church, and we are loving them. Welcome that stranger. Lift them up. Embrace them. Let them know that this Orthodox church can be their home, and is their home if they're living in the city and believing. So that's our responsibility, to do those things. Pray, be in the sacraments, and certainly be a welcoming presence to somebody who comes to visit you at your church. And be patient, beloved in Christ, you know. Maybe we worry about things. We worry if our church has a future. We've made it 103 years. Thanks be to God. Are we going to make it 200? Make it 300, 500? How are we going to do that? So maybe we'll have a foundation. We'll have money. We'll look ahead at the material things. Those are all good ways of ensuring that we have a place to come to. But the most important thing is what's inside and the people. So where are your hearts? You can have a beautiful building. You can have a great facility. You can exist for 150 years, and you can have people that won't set foot in the church because they don't care enough about it. Or they'll never come to the sacraments, and maybe they'll send a donation in every year, but never once being one spiritually, sacramentally, really with the body of Christ. So I encourage you all today, be the church and continue to be the church. And if God wills, 3,000 and more will come in his time. I was talking to a man yesterday. very enlightening, and he's kind of interested, sort of seeking, but not really committed. And he told me something I wanted to share with you. He said, you know, God, if he wants to move, he pointed to something on my desk, this thing from here to here, it might take him 1,000 years to do it. God might take 1,000 years to move that one thing over 3 inches. He's got a lot of patience, God, because he loves more than we do. So let's learn from that. Be patient and be as loving as God has shown us. It's hard, though, and remember the living water in the gospel today? Remember, Jesus is promising us that if we believe, if we are the church, that living water will come flowing from us. The funny thing about water is we know we need it, and we know when we're thirsty, we have to quench our thirst. But then you go to a restaurant. Do you ever go to Burger King or Noodles & Company has one? It's one of these drink stations where you have to press a button, and then you can pick the colas or the lemonades or the diets or the doctors, whatever, or the teas. And then you go to another page, and it's Fanta. And you get orange and raspberry and lime and 100 other things you never thought of, but they're there. And it boggles the mind. What am I going to choose? You need one thing to quench your thirst. You know that. I know that. We need water. But we're dazzled by the sweet, the flavor, the colors, the bubbles, right? That's what our relationship like God with God is like in the world sometimes. We get drawn away by every distraction when there's one needed thing, that living water. So make the right choice and be the church. We celebrate Pentecost today. It's the birthday of the church. We want a reason to celebrate, to thank God for his wonderful gifts, for giving us Jesus, for his death, his resurrection, for allowing us to be not only recipients of that living water, but as believers to have it flowing out from our bellies, the innermost parts of our being, as the Holy Spirit fills us. May we be blessed, and may our church continue to grow to the glory of God and not to our personal glory for millennium into the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.